You have your Bibles tonight. Turn with us to Romans, first chapter, beginning with verse 1. And we're preaching to you on the man who wasn't ashamed. And I believe it can be summed up in this great preacher, the Apostle Paul. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scripture, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship or obedience to the faith among all nations for the name of Christ, among whom are ye also be called of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, to all that be in San Antonio, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul gave this declaration, which I'm using for my scripture reference and text this evening. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And I believe if this man of God were here tonight, he would say, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are here in San Antonio, Texas tonight. Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. As I said this morning, I repeat again this hour, Paul the apostle had one message, and that message was Jesus Christ. Amen. Everywhere he went, everywhere he preached, he exalted and magnified the name of this wonderful Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether he be in a Roman dungeon talking to jailer, whether he be on Mars Hill speaking to a philosopher, whether he be on a shipwreck talking to a sailor, whether he be on the street preaching to sinners, are in the church teaching Christians the message of Christ.
Amen.
Whether Paul talked about the surety of a judgment, the longness of eternity, the condemnation of sin, the horrors of heaven, the glories are the glories of heaven and the horrors of hell, the remedy was Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so you and I have one message today, and that message is Jesus Christ. I'd like to place emphasis on three words that are given here in the 14th verse where Paul said, and he made it personal, I am debtor. Making this collective way, all of us can say, we are debtors.
Amen.
And I believe if this man who wasn't ashamed, the Apostle Paul, were here at this moment, he would say that we are in debt to God Almighty. God who is our Heavenly Father, God who is our Creator, God our Master, God our Savior, God who was before there was a beginning, and he is tonight, and he shall continue to be throughout the endless ages of eternity. And beloved, this little show that we're putting on down here, politically, economically, socially, and even religiously, someday the curtains are going to be drawn, and God, who sometimes is made havoc of and made fun of and made mockery of, and we hear the name, the man who was or is upstairs, this little show that we're putting on down here, the curtains are going to be drawn, and God, who's on the throne, is going to reveal himself as the omnipotent one.
Amen.
What the Bible said in Genesis 1 and 1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And I read this translation the other day, in the beginning God made the heavens and the earth. As we turn to Psalms, the 53rd chapter, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, corrupt are they, and they have done abominable iniquity, and there is none that doeth good. Now, I didn't say that, but God said,
amen,
any man who denies him is a fool. And if God said it, well, we should believe it.
Amen.
And that ought to settle it, shouldn't it? And in Colossians, the first chapter, we find in these words, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, God, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the blood of Christ, even we receive the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, our dominions, our principalities, our powers, all things were created by him and for him, and that God is before all things, and by him do all things consist. I read this verse today in Psalms, the 90th chapter, the first two verses. The prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations before the fountain, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world. God, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art the Lord. And then, again in repetition, may we read in Romans, the first chapter, beginning with verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be made known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shown it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood of the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Present tense. In past tense, they have become vain in their imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They have become fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man of the birds and four-footed beasts and the creeping thing. We're debtors to God Almighty. Not only are we in debt to God, we're in debt to a world that's lost without God. Beloved, we cannot deny the fact of sin tonight. We cannot deny that the devil is loose for a season, because he is. And we're in debt to every lost person around the entire globe, regardless of nationality, personality, regardless of social standing, creed, tribe. We're in debt to every individual Amen. Person who is lost apart from the Lord thy God. You know, the atheist may stand and frame an argument against the existence of God, but he cannot frame an argument against the existence of sin. The infidel may stand and frame an argument against the deity or the virgin birth of Christ, but the infidel cannot frame an argument against the existence of sin. The skeptic may be skeptical toward the great fundamental truths that are given in God's word. The doubter may be doubtful of them, and the unbeliever may not believe them, but the skeptic, the doubter, the unbeliever cannot deny the existence of sin. You say, why? As we look all about us tonight, we find the trouble basically with man is sin.
Amen.
And in the very beginning, man sinned against God, and the trouble with the world is sin. I was talking to a Christian psychiatrist some time ago. He told me, he said, Brother Vessel, I know that God has given me the ability to help you. He said, I believe that I have been used in some ways to help people that are in trouble. And if you'll read from the fourth chapter of Matthew, people are sick three ways. They're sick in soul, spiritually. They're sick in mind, mentally. Or they're sick in body, physically. And when you're sick either way, mentally, physically, or spiritually, it'll affect the other.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ was tempted as you and I, but he overcame these temptations. Then the devil leaveth him, and the angels came and ministered to the Son of God. And this Christian psychiatrist told me, he said, I believe basically the trouble with man is sin.
Amen.
And so tonight we need to realize that sin is all about us. And we're going to be facing the temptation of sin as long as we live on this earth. The story was told of a father to his axe on his shoulder to go yonder to the timbers to cut some wood for the wintry months. And he turned around and saw his little boy following him. And when he arrived at his destination, he said, son, don't get too close to the
lagoon. There had been a great flood, and the alligators were there.
The little boy promised his daddy faithfully that he wouldn't, but as the father went on chopping the wood, the little boy, forgetting the promise that he made to his dad, playing with the pebbles in his hand, waded out into the water, and the story went ahead to reveal that an alligator swam up, took hold of the little boy's body, and he started crying and howling, saying, "Hurry, Daddy, faster! The alligator has been certainly at the father's love for his own son." At a terrific speed, he arrived at the scene, fishing to swing the axe on the head of the great monster. The alligator turned his body and went into the water, and that father stood there and heard the bones of his own little boy as they crackled in the alligator's mouth. When I read that story, I didn't sleep much that night. You say, why? How horrifying and terrifying would it be for a great monster like this to get a hold of one of your precious children, even one of mine, tear them to shreds? But you listen to me tonight. Something worse than an alligator has hold of people today.
Amen. Trial,
that is sin.
Amen.
And the devil has stuck his beak in the souls of men and women, boys and girls, that have arrived at the age of accountability and responsibility, and many of them are breaking the speed limit and plunging into a place called hell. And I want you to know that we are in debt to every one of these lost people. And even as the little boy cried out and said, "Hurry, Daddy, faster, the alligator has been," someone may be crying out to you and even to me tonight, saying, "Hurry, faster, sin, and the devil has us, and what are we doing about it?" Many of us are standing and sitting back, doing nothing. We're in debt to lost souls.
Amen.
That are without God. As I said this morning, every year I take a mission tour. Some few years ago, I was in New York State touring Long Island and other parts. One of my neighbors came over and talked to my wife one night and said, "Why does Ben travel all over the United States and all over the world preaching the gospel when his own neighbors are lost?" And when I got home, I received a message. And one night, I went on visitation at my church. And when I got back to my house, I didn't have the key for my home. And so I walked across the street and visited a man who was lost. He and his wife happened to be Jewish. And as I tried to witness to him living by him throughout these years, he said, "Dan, there's a man that's living over here that has cancer. He's dying. Why don't you visit him? Why aren't you concerned about him?" And before I left that home, that man cursed me out in a nice way, but still remained my friend. And I went to visit the other man, talked to him about Jesus. It wasn't 6 months. The first man that I talked to took leukemia. My son and I visited him in the hospital, had a prayer with him, tried to win. And then the other man in a few months died. All probability, these two men without God. And I've often wondered if I did my best, and if I were to drive home tonight or even next week after this meeting, well, I look at them here at this, I hear this, and I see two men. They went out in eternity. You know, sometimes we can get so concerned about people in Mexico or Africa or other places, and I'm talking about myself because I go there, that we leave undone the duty at home. And we're a debtor personally to the man that lives across
Amen.
The street, or the neighbor, or the friend, nay, yea, the enemy. We're in debt to every lost soul. The Bible said, "And when he has come, Jesus speaking, he will reprove the world of sin and of judgment, and then the remedy, the righteousness of God. For the Bible said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord
Amen.
And Savior."
Amen.
Moses, the valiant leader, said, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Paul the apostle declared, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Unto him that soweth to the flesh shall reap corruption. To him that soweth to the spirit shall reap life everlasting." Galatians 6, 7, and 8. We're in debt to a world that's lost. We're in debt to the church. You know, Jesus Christ said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I love the church tonight. For more than 30 years, as the pastor gave the introduction, I've given my life to the gospel of salvation. I've given my life to God. I've given my life to the church. And I want you to know, it is the obligation of the church tonight to reach out and win men
Amen.
And women to Christ.
Amen.
And one great evangelist said, if the church fails, God may have to use another instrument in his hand to influence the world for God. But I believe the church is going to stand
And I believe the church will stand until hell freezes over. And then we can slide back on the ice and continue to stand up for the church of the living God. And the reason that we place the emphasis on evangelism and on revival this week, during these days in this community and in your city, which I pray might reach out throughout the state and the world, is that we believe it is our duty and obligation out of the love of our heart to win people to Christ.
Amen.
I was in Chicago 7 years ago, and I went to the museum and saw the remains of the fire they had in the late 1800s. And I'm reminded of a story where a woman ran into a streetcar, and her hair was singed from her head, wringing her hands. Hysterical was she, and the streetcar driver looked at her and said, "My landswoman, what's wrong with you? Did you realize and know that 500 people have lost their lives, and you're saved?" And that woman's eyes almost jumping out of her head answered back, "My landsman, that's it. Think about those who have lost their lives, and I'm saved, but I didn't save anyone. I didn't save anyone." Did you realize while I speak to you in the next 60 seconds, more than 100 people, even more than that, around the world will die and go into an endless eternity separated from God? We're in debt as a church. We're in debt as a Christian. We're in debt as a born-again believer to every lost soul without Christ. They might be converted.
Amen.
God is not willing that they perish, but that all should come to repentance, according to Hebrews. And then Paul not only said, "I'm better," Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of this gospel."
Amen.
Of salvation because of its consequences. Whatever a person puts into anything, that's what they get out of it. If you're a businessman tonight, whatever you put into your business, that's what you receive from it. And if some businessmen treated their business like they do their church, their business would die before sundown.
That's right. Amen.
Whatever a politician puts into his politics, that's what he gets out of it. Whatever a musician puts into her music, whatever a singer puts into his singing, whatever a preacher puts into his preaching, that's what they receive from it. And whatever a Christian puts into their Christianity, that's what they get out of it. You know, the victory has never been won, but beloved, by majority, the victory is won by a minority.
Amen. Hey.
And I'm thinking, one night when the clouds were hovering low in London, England, there were only 23 people gathered together in the church. They didn't have a spokesman for that night, and they chose an old blacksmith who was a retired preacher, could hardly see to read, to bring the message. And a young man stepped out of the dismal weather into the auditorium and made his way into the balcony. And this old preacher stood that night and could hardly see to read his text. And finally he found it over in Isaiah, and he read, "Look unto Jesus and be you saved. All the ends of the earth, for there is one God and none else." And over in repetition, he quoted that verse. And finally, God gave him sight enough to see that young man in the balcony. And he said, "You up there, look unto Jesus and be you saved. All the ends of the earth, for there is one God and none else." And over he said, "Look unto Jesus and be you saved." And finally came to the close of his message, and the benediction was given. And the people came around and tried to console the old preacher because they thought he failed. But that young man made his way out of the balcony back into the dismal weather. Those words flashed before his eyes. They pondered in his heart. They rung in his ears. "Look unto Jesus and be you saved. All the ends of the earth, for there is one God and none else." And that young man fell upon his knees and cried out to God for forgiveness of sin and was gloriously saved. Who was it? A great English preacher by the name of C.H. Spurgeon. You go to the library of this pastor tonight, or any other preacher in this city, regardless of denomination or faith, you'll find some of it. He was not only a man that preached to the heart because of the warmth of his heart, but he was a great intellect. He preached to the mind, offered $50,000. To come to America and bring 50 lectures. Said, "No, I'd rather stay in London, England, and preach every Sunday more than 5,000 people and see more than 500 souls saved and born into God's kingdom than to go to America for that fabulous sum of money." I mentioned this morning D.L. Moody, the preacher of love, who only finished the fourth grade education. He preached one night, and a woman came up to him and said, "Mr. Moody, you made 23 grammatical errors." He said, "Lady, I did my best with what I had. What are you doing?"
Amen.
I think it's Dr. Lee who told a story about Mel Trotter when he got saved. They were going to place a bunch of preachers around the city of Philadelphia to preach, and they put old Mel Trotter down in the slums of the city to preach because he didn't have a very good vocabulary. They put all the other great preachers in bigger churches, Mel Trotter preached and had 50 saved. And the other preachers didn't hardly have anyone. Somebody asked him, said, why did they put you down there? Well, he said, I don't know, but I lost 50% of my vocabulary when I got converted. But D.L. Moody, when he'd stand and preach, he preached with expectancy, believing results would be of God and for God.
Amen.
And I wish I had that expectancy, faith in God. And he heard two women in conversation saying one to another, wonder what the Lord could do of a man who completely give himself to God. D.L. Moody said, for the grace of the Lord, I'll be that man. He put one foot yonder on England, another on America, and shook these two continents for God. You say, why? He sold out for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There may be a young man here tonight. There may be a young woman here tonight that God is looking for, that you might sell out to Him.
Amen.
That you might become a flaming evangel or even a great missionary of tomorrow. As I mentioned, in New York State, Charles Finney was won to Christ by a Sunday school teacher. In 2 years' time, he saw over 100,000 souls converted in New York State alone. Charles Finney was a brilliant lawyer, turned to Christianity by the grace of God. Oh, God may want you as a Sunday school teacher not to forget that little boy in your Sunday school class. So that little girl, don't forget their importance. And I know I ain't nothing if I'm anything for the grace of God. But when I was a young man, 17 years of age, running up and down the dusty roads barefooted with an ugly scar on my face, nobody gave me a check. But I want to tell you, it was a miraculous work of God when He reached down out of the mire of clay and the dust of the ground, the wages of sin and the pits of hell, and lifted me up.
Amen.
And put my feet on a solid rock.
Amen.
All men of the ministry. And don't tell me that God cannot work miracles when He can save someone and then call them to preach. All things are possible with
God. Amen.
I'm not ashamed of this gospel tonight because of its content. Someone might say, what's in it? Salvation. Salvation for every man, for every woman. Salvation for every boy, for every girl. Salvation for you one day when you were lost. Salvation for anyone tonight who is lost. I believe in predestination, and I'm a predestinarian. But I want you to know, I don't know who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved, but that does limit God. God knows who will be saved and who won't be saved. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to preach as if everyone has a chance to be saved. For the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and whosoever won't shall be damned. And I'm not the judge tonight. We leave that in the hand of God. Even though we believe in coordination and we believe in election, and someone said, well, Dan, if you believe like that, why do you preach? Well, I'd lose the blessing if I didn't do what God wanted me to do. And so I preach every time I stand as if everyone who is lost has an opportune time to be saved if they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of their sin and turning from their wickedness and turning to God in true repentance.
Amen.
And if you'll read the biblical stories in the Bible, people came to Jesus and He told them how to be saved. And they were. And I want you to know, my friend, when the Lord moves in our heart and in our hearts and gets us really right with Him, people are going to come, they're going to heed, they're going to hear, and they're going to be converted.
Amen.
I believe.
Amen.
I believe any man that will stand and preach this unadulterated gospel of salvation of our Lord and Savior will not altogether preach to empty benches. I believe some will come, and I believe some will hear.
Amen.
And I believe some will heed to God.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of this tonight because of Jesus Christ. As Paul said here in Romans 1:16, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel because this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or even to the Gentile. Read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and say with my text tonight, with Paul the Apostle, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of salvation, for when we go back to a little town of Bethlehem, we see Christ born in a manger among cattle. I'm not ashamed of this gospel when one day Christ stood before those that have minds filled by the seashore. One of His disciples walked up beside Him and said, Lord, where's the remedy for sin? And He threw back His cloak and said, after a while, I'll give my life, I'll give my blood, my all, that men might be saved. Amen. I'm not ashamed of this gospel when He knelt in the darkness of a garden of Gethsemane and prayed so hard and difficult that drops of blood did fall from the man who was praying for us. I'm not ashamed of this gospel when one day he lifted a cross to the hill of Golgotha, and there a place called a skull at Calvary. He died between two thieves. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. After he died upon that cross, they took the preciousness of his body and they laid it in a barred tomb. But the grave could not hold the body of the Son
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
But when 3 days and nights passed by, Jesus Christ, by the way, literally, came forth out of the grave.
Amen.
We can say tonight he's risen.
Amen.
There's a great preacher today said, after Jesus died upon the cross and discovered and uncovered the grave, he gave it back to
him. Amen.
That's Jesus. And then he was seen of men. And then he was overshadowed by a cloud, according to Acts 1, 9-11. He was taken into glory. Amen. Someday, according to the precious of God's word, Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Lord, and no wonder we sing to live. Someday, praise God, Jesus Christ is coming back to receive his own unto himself. And if you were to come back before the morning sun were to come up in the eastern horizon, have you made preparation within your heart to meet him? If not, you can tonight. You can have the victory within your very soul, your very heart, and your very life. And you can go away from here in Jesus.
Amen.
Well, I pray that every one of us, I'm not ashamed of this salvation because of our wondrous Lord. We're going to sing an invitation. What number? Name of the night.